Welcome to the Certainty Advice Podcast, where advice starts with your best interests in mind, helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, Jim Stackpool from Certainty Advice Group, with another podcast in our Certainty Advice series, where we aim to help as many Australians as possible access valuable financial advice that's truly in their best interests without any conflict or bias in any way. So they're on the best possible path they can be to achieve those things they want to achieve and get over those obstacles that get in the way of them leading the financial life they want to. Today, our topic is asking the right questions of any advisor, a financial advisor, accountant, broker, someone lending you money, someone you might be buying insurance from, an industry super fund, superannuation conversations. What are the right questions to ask? Because much in the world of advice has changed in the last 12 months. In fact, we'll probably go as far as saying that in the last 12 months, there's been more change than the last 12 years. And so, therefore, do Australians need to change as well in the questions that they're asking their advisors? Today, I'm lucky to have Anne-Marie Humphreys, who's a director of Huon Financial Planning, huonfinancial.com.au, in beautiful Albury, New South Wales, down on the border between New South Wales and Victoria. Anne-Marie is a director and principal advisor, certainty advisor, for a wide variety of clients, individuals and businesses in and around Albury. But today, you should listen out for what Anne-Marie talks about, the murkiness that still exists of some advisors and the associated benefits they're getting once you sign up for their loan or their self-managed super fund or their fund. The other thing to listen out for is how to ensure the advice you're receiving is in fact in your best interest and not the best interest of those providing the advice. And also importantly, how to potentially identify the conflicts that may exist and affect what is in fact your best interest. But I started by asking Anne-Marie, the advice industry has changed more in the last 12 months, the last 12 years. So should Australians be also asking now different questions of their advisor in light of such dramatic change we've seen?
Yeah, so there's certainly a lot going on in the broader industry, regardless of what area of professional services when it comes to the financial space. In terms of the questions that a consumer should be asking of their professional advisor, I think from a very broad perspective, a good starting point would be to say, how does that advisor ensure that any advice that they provide to me is absolutely in my best interest? I'd want to know, for example, how do you charge for your advice? What's the sort of fees that I'm going to be paying for my advice? Any advice I receive, how do you determine those fees? I'd be wanting to know whether the advisor I'm meeting with has any particular biases, whether that's towards a particular product or service, whether they provide comprehensive advice or whether their advice is more narrowly focused on a particular area.
Okay. So I'd like to come back to that comprehensive versus the narrow advice focus, but if I could come back to the bias question. And so the type of questions that Australians should be asking their advisors around understanding any particular bias, is that around if the advisor has any form of ownership or any form of profit that they make because they're putting their advisor's money in a particular investment vehicle? Is that the sort of bias you're alluding to?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I would be really aware as a consumer, and I think, it is great that consumers are becoming, a bit more informed about these sorts of things, but I would be wanting to know if the advisor receives any sort of remuneration at all from any products that they recommend to me, whether that's a commission, whether that's an upfront or an ongoing fee from a product, whether the group that they're part of gets benefits from associated products or platforms. So I think, in the new world of financial advice, there should be absolute transparency in terms of how of the pricing for that advice, so how the fees are charged, but also there's also the clarity is provided on where those, you know, how that fee's being determined as well. And I think it's that transparency and there's that clarity, then it's really in the client's courts to determine whether that fee, based on what their needs are, because every client presents with unique circumstances and, you know, and, you know, particular goals and particular aspirations that they're wanting to achieve that are important to them. So I think if there's a very transparent structure around how advice is, what are the fees for that advice, then I think that allows the client to make a much more informed decision about whether that fee represents value to them. I think in the past there's been a lot of, shall we say, murkiness with, you know, payments from product or, you know, fees charged as a percentage of assets or commissions from selling insurances. I think in a truly professional advice world, that all goes. And it makes a significant difference to where the client ends up as well because, you know, somebody pays for those fees. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, as we know. So if a lot of that's stripped out, then ultimately it will be to the benefit of the client, you know, ideally in terms of reduced costs. So
is that, that does sort of echo some of the noise, I guess, comes from the industry funds, those that are in an industry fund, because they've been very heavy for some time on this whole no fees or compare the pair. And so is that alluding that the industry funds themselves are a much better choice, and that's the sort of questioning that the client, Australian, should have to ensure they're in that sort of level of product because it's got low fees? Is that what you're alluding to there?
No, not necessarily. I mean, there are some really good industry funds out there. There are some really shoddy ones, to be honest, and there are some very expensive industry super funds as well as some quite cost-effective ones. And again, there are also some very good, you know, public offer or retail offerings out there. I mean, the financial landscape's constantly evolving with new products and new options coming to the market. It's really important to assess those on the merit. I think the where maybe the industry funds did have a point was to say that there were a lot of old school, very expensive type superannuation products that were sold to consumers by a tied advisor network, and you know certainly some of those old products weren't in the interest of client and of the client. So there was a valid criticism there. But it doesn't necessarily hold that industry funds good, everything else bad. It's about what is best for the individual client, for what they're looking to achieve, and also, you know, what is the most cost competitive.
Because, and some of those associated benefits you spoke about, Anne-Marie, are difficult for consumers to understand in an interview with their accountant or their financial planner. And I imagine you're alluding to there some providers that might, for instance, have a buyback clause in their agreement with their product or dealer group that provided that they put enough product into a certain dealer group's platform, that may affect the valuation that dealer group may offer long-term down the track to that business if they were ever to think about exiting and then coming back and then leaving the marketplace. That's what you're meaning by some of these associated and hidden benefits, because they're quite well hidden, some of these.
Oh, they are. I mean, I've had documents come across my desk that I've spent hours working my way through to try and work out what it was that the client was actually paying. It was, you know, very, very, shall we say, opaque, very difficult to work out. And some of those older products had, you know, a very high level of fees. They are, you know, we are coming across them much more rarely. I think institutionally there has been a response to that. But you're quite right. You know, if an advisor gets a benefit from recommending a product, I'd just be very, very cautious. The product needs to be able to stand on its own as being fit for purpose and being a really good option. It shouldn't need to be, there should not need to be a tied, you know, tied network to sell that. Does that make sense?
And as you say, there is so much choice. It's very difficult for any consumer in their day-to-day world and what they're doing with in their financial lives to understand all the different features or benefits or costs or attachments that any product. And so are you also alluding then that any much too much focus on the product performance that an advisor may be offering as compared to focusing on the value the client seeks as a consequence of a good product, whilst ensuring that there's absolutely no payment whatsoever coming or no benefit whatsoever coming from the recommendation other than simply the dollar fee that the client is paying the advisor.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was saying, from my perspective, the price is one aspect, but the product can have a range of other features that may be actually suitable for an individual client's needs. Yeah, my job as an advisor is to work with the client to identify with them what are their priorities. So for somebody who wants a very simple, straightforward solution, what may be a suitable option for them could be very different to somebody who wants to be more actively involved or engaged or requires other features associated with any type of a product. So the product side of it to me, you know, really comes later in the piece.
Or in fact, I think what you're alluding to there, the product may not even appear at all. No. The solution may not even require a product.
Often it can be just strategic advice. You know, it may well be that somebody has a need for more clarity, even a bit of a financial health check, shall we say. You know, am I on track? Is there something that I'm not aware of that I could be doing, that I could be doing smarter? That doesn't necessarily involve any product at all. What we're talking about is advice. And that's advice that gives clients confidence that they're making the best financial decisions for them, their unique circumstances and their unique aspirations that really put them on the best possible financial path for them. That's one of the real challenges, I think, of our industry is you can't, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It really is about, you know, really identifying and working with each client based on their situation and based on their needs.
So, Emery, we've come through a period, I think, of an explosion of clients, for whatever reason, looking to look after their own retirement, their own investment, their own financial care, the growth of the do-it-yourself, and evidence in some ways by the self-managed super fund movement, which in some ways is probably incorrectly named, but it does at least give the connotation that people can take control, which we know is anyone understanding behavioral finance sometimes means we're not wired to do it. But those that are taking more of this, I call it the owner builder approach to, are there any specific questions they should be asking of whoever they're getting their products or supporting advice with from an accountant to ensure that they too are changing and altering their own questions as the market itself is changing? Or are they also captured, I think, by your general comments you've made
Absolutely.
So far?
Absolutely. Yeah. Whether it's DIY or whether it's advice, there has to be a very clear process for both the initial selection of any product that you use and due diligence on it as well. So, you know, there's a lot of products that are out there that are sold directly that sound, you know, that on the surface of it can look very, very appealing. But then when you dig down into it, there's a lot of a lot of risks or things that people may not be aware of. So, you know, and I think also when it comes to the DIY side of it, it's being aware of your own inherent biases and that, which can actually contribute to, shall we say, suboptimal decision making.
Yep, definitely. The things we're invisible to that we can't see, which may affect us consistently, even if we're in what we believe to be the best DIY solution, we're invisible to our own attitudes.
An example of that, I guess, if you look at the self-managed superannuation fund space is, you know, a lot of these property developers who are promoting property to SMSF trustees as a way to build wealth, which very rarely play out. And if I was a SMSF trustee and I was looking at one of those sort of options, I'd be wanting to make very, very – have it made very, very clear to me, one, how much the person who's or the firm that's promoting this to me is getting paid to do that, because again, there can be a real lack of transparency around that with large, you know, kickbacks or commissions associated with it. So again, I think it comes back to that openness, that transparency and that clarity around pricing.
So there you have it, Anne-Marie Humphreys from Huon, H-U-O-N, financial.com.au, Huon Financial Planning in beautiful Albury, New South Wales. So what was your take from that? I've got three things. I think probably just common sense is the first thing. Or in fact, Anne-Marie summed it up very nicely with the last point. The openness, the clarity, and the transparency. Openness, clarity, and transparency of any advice you're getting from anyone providing you with a financial product, be it a loan, be it accounting advice, superannuation, industry funds advice, investment advice, anything at all. The second thing is the questions you're asking, the question you should be listening for, you should be hearing more about conversations that are leading towards an understanding from the advisor's perspective of your unique circumstances, not theirs, your unique circumstances, not simply just from a financial perspective either. Obviously, you're listening out for any potential product bias, as the advisor, as Anne-Marie was saying, receiving any other associated benefit. Maybe not directly, but potentially longer term, because you're supporting a certain approach that they're taking that they then get some sort of benefit either now or longer term. There should be none of that in Anne-Marie's view or our view as well, obviously. Third, and we've heard this a number of times, but it continually, unfortunately, still happens, the speculative investment advice of property developers who unfortunately are not paying the same level of stringent ethics and professional approach that Anne-Marie upholds. But we're still being, too many Australians are still being dudded because whilst they're not being governed, we're still having these far too great risk situations coming up where people are taking too much risk and not getting the returns. The real only benefit of some of these speculative investment advice from property developers is in fact for the property developer. So, as always, find an advisor who's unconflicted. Obviously, Certainty Advisors adhere to Australia's highest and only professional standard. In fact, still today, there's been a standard accredited with the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission and IP Australia, where we ensure there's no real or perceived conflicts in the advice that is comprehensive. So thank you, Anne-Marie Humphreys, Principal of Huon Financial in gorgeous Albury on the New South Wales-Victorian border. Great advisory firm, proving again that great quality advice is all through Australia. We don't have to just see it in the metropolitan areas. Love to get your feedback on this, as with all our podcasts, and thank you very much for listening. Jim Stackpool, Certainty Advice Group, signing off. Cheers for now.
Thanks for listening to the Certainty Advice Podcast with Jim Stackpool. To access all the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, please head on over to seekingcertainty.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. Seekingcertainty.com.